Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 26th day of July, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And to be honest with you folks, most of the news today is a bit different in tone and in character, if nothing else. Not different from what we've heard, and I'll make that case with a quick headline summary in just a minute, but different in terms of how people are finally starting to see it, accept it, or not accept it, as the case may be, which of course leaves the question, exactly what are they going to do about it once they realize it? And that's where I want to end up spending most of the time today. But as promised, let's start with a quick headline review to at least set the stage. First from Zero Hedge, new home sales and prices both plunged in June as Pulte home builders admit that order cancellations are soaring. And amid the plunge, says Tyler Durden up front, in home builder confidence, record low affordability, tumbling single-family starts and permits, and multi-decade lows in mortgage applications, it's no surprise that analysts expected a 5.9%, or so they say, month-over-month plunge in new home sales in June, especially after that surprise 10.7% month-over-month panic buying surge the month before that. The consensus was right in direction, but again, off in magnitude. New home sales plunged 8.1% month over month in June, and that surge in May was revised down to just 6.3%. Bottom line, new home sales have fallen for 5 of the last 6 months, and the last few months have seen a one-way street of downward revisions. Meanwhile, the new home sales SAAR has tumbled to its lowest since the nadir of the COVID booga 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 lockdowns in April 2020. Well, at least the good news is medium home prices are down almost 10% month over month, the biggest one-month drop since September of 2014. Related story, this actually came out over the weekend, but it really fits here. Blackstone, you know them, one of the biggest private equity firms in the world, and they basically run everything that the Communist Chinese Party doesn't. Or is it the deep state? Or maybe I repeat myself. Anyway, they are preparing a record $50 billion, says a story from Zero Hedge, to snap up real estate during the coming planned collapse. Who could have thought it? And I guess this, too, is also yet another related story. The confidence board's confidence level has tumbled as hope has now hit a 9-year low. Says their senior director of economic indicators, quote, concerns about inflation, gee, do you think, rising gas and food prices in particular, continue to weigh on consumers. And looking ahead, inflation and additional rate hikes are likely to continue posing strong headwinds for consumer spending and economic growth. Yeah, sure, over the next 6 months. Oh, and as Zero Hedge notes, who can blame Americans for not being confident because the adjusted misery index is at the worst level since the worst of the Jimmy Carter era? And here's an interesting observation. Compared to the current bumbling, hair-sniffing, senile poster boy for dementia currently infesting the White House, did you ever think anybody could make Jimmy Carter look wise, reasoned, intelligent, and capable? And speaking of which, since the goal is obviously to completely destroy America's energy infrastructure, does this surprise anyone? The Biden Fuhrer plans to sell an additional 20 million barrels of oil from the so-called Strategic Petroleum Reserve just in time for the midterms. No word yet on how much of that's going to go to the Communist Chinese Party puppet masters, but at least so far in 2022, the SPR has been drained by over 125 million barrels. Anybody care to gamble on a sure thing? Place your bets now as to exactly when the SPR will show up empty. I'm guessing anytime after about 4 a.m. after the election, when they shut down the vote counting and bring in the rigging crew. Oh yeah, and you can expect the blackouts about the time the first winter storms start to arrive. And oh yeah, did you hear about how the Biden regime, or at least those that are pulling the strings, has redefined? No, not just what vaccinations are, that's old news, but what a recession is, too. Trouble is, given what's coming, we ought to realize nobody's going to be using the R word anymore anyway. And even the D word probably won't quite cut it. There was a quote from the moronic Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, yesterday when it came to a recession, saying, you don't see any of the signs. Well, no, she doesn't. A recession, she said, is a broad-based contraction affecting many sectors of the economy. We just don't have that, unquote. No, folks, we have a smackdown ultimately affecting all sectors of the economy. And as a matter of fact, by the time they're done with it, there may not be anything left of the U.S. economy. Which takes me now to the first of several deeper looks for today at what's really going on and what people are, hopefully at least, finally starting to wake up to. One of those has been warning for a while is Tom Luongo via his site, and I love the title, Gold, Goats, and Guns blog. When all you have left, he says, up front is managing narratives, well, that becomes a full-time job. And that's where the Davos crowd is today, just before the next big Fed rate hike and just over 3 months out from the U.S. midterm fraud, or elections. We're getting to the point where the subject doesn't matter anymore, because everything is managed, massaged, wheedled, or cajoled into a convenient definition which serves some aspect of the Davos agenda. Last week, they were blaming Russia, Russia, Russia for the West financial meltdown, food and energy shortages forcing the ECB to raise rates. And this week, it's redefining recession and shifting the blame for it to, well, I guess the only thing left is the Federal Reserve. First, Treasury Secretary, sick, Janet Yellen, proclaims she doesn't see a recession, and nobody should be surprised at that. And now the Biden regime has redefined recession away from the technical definition that existed for a while, at least, of two straight quarters of negative GDP growth. Of course, long ago they started lying about GDP, so maybe it is time to come up with something better, but certainly not continuing in the same direction. And no, I can't help but recall Ronald Reagan's famous definition. It's a lot closer to the truth than what we've seen of late. A recession is when your neighbor loses his job. A depression is when you do. Here's what the regime tried to claim. Well, some maintain that two consecutive quarters of falling real GDP, they're not going to tell you what real GDP is, folks. It's been falling for a while now, constitute a recession. That is neither the official definition nor the way economists, or at least those that we're going to allow to speak, evaluate the state of the business cycle. Says Luongo, come on, and I am paraphrasing it just a bit. Even trying to pick this idiocy apart would give it credence far beyond what it deserves. Just remember that since Lehman Brothers, we've now officially avoided a technical recession for 13 years, and the U.S. tyrant with the most aliases ever was reelected on that narrative. Easy money and ZERP, zero-bound interest rate policy, kept the U.S. from printing those dreaded two consecutive quarters of negative GDP. So now, when that condition can no longer be avoided, what are we supposed to swallow this time around?
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
What we have here is not only a failure to communicate, it's another political tool to appeal to middle-class nitwits who still want to believe the mantra, Trump is the devil, Fauci is the high priest of, say it with me, folks, the science, and the socialists masquerading as Democrats aren't communists either, so they can feel smart and justify voting for more beatings until morale improves. Concludes Tom, Americans are angry because they know they've been lied to and they continue to be lied to. What they want more than anything else, he suggests, is for someone, anyone, to finally tell them the truth. And here he quotes the great critic of tyranny, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who wrote, we know they're lying, they know they're lying, they know we know they're lying, and we know they're lying. But they're still lying. There's economic dislocation on the horizon, he concludes. But the epicenter will be Europe, not so much the U.S., which will, at least to some extent, insulate us and, more importantly, the Fed from the worst of the fallout. And while you're still at least a bit free to complain about it, you better do so privately, and whatever you do, just don't call it that word that starts with R. Oh, and for crying out loud, your host adds, don't even think about using the D word. But it's not just economics where people are finally starting to feel the pain and maybe see the light. Dr. Joseph Mercola emphasizes something that most regular listeners here have probably long figured out. The COVID poison pokes impact both male and female fertility. Since they rolled out in December 2020, he begins, it didn't take long before real doctors, as opposed to the kind that play them on TV and advise people to commit suicide by lethal injection, they started warning about possible reproductive side effects. Among them were Dr. Jancy Chun Lindsay, Director of Toxicology and Molecular Biology for Toxicology Support Services, LLC, who in April 2021, for all it was worth, submitted a public comment to the U.S. Centers for Death and Control and their Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. How's that for a lion mouthful? Highlighting the potential for adverse effects on fertility. Dr. Mercola says he interviewed Dr. Lindsay in 2021, and basically she predicted what we're now observing. Credible evidence that the COVID shots cross-react with synchrotron and reproductive genes in sperm, ova, and placenta in ways that might impair, to put it mildly, reproductive outcomes. Quote, we could potentially be sterilizing an entire generation, she warned. And since then, of course, we've seen volumes of reports about women who've been duped into taking the Zyklon B injection, reporting, among other things, menstrual irregularities. And they literally run the gamut. And a whole list of other things, you've heard most of them here, including miscarriages, fetal deaths, and stillbirths. Oh, and would you believe, writes Dr. Mercola, there's still no data to support that pregnant women should be stupid enough, I'm sorry, I guess gullible really is a better word there, to allow themselves to be injected with the Zyklon B shot either. Bottom line, and you figured this out, haven't you? There's a massive depopulation effort underway. From there, on we go to a couple of articles from people that I've long admired, like Dr. Ron Paul, former presidential candidate and congressman from Texas, who's always been on the side of truth, but has certainly tended to be circumspect about it. He might admit privately, as he has to me, that he really understands what evil looks like when he sees it, but at least up until recently, he's been reluctant to level both barrels and fire. I guess you could say that he's inclined to give them the benefit of the doubt, up until it's no longer possible. This week, though, he writes for Lou Rockwell and the Ron Paul Institute about what he calls ugly COVID lies, saying, after 2 years of unprecedented government tyranny in the name of fighting a virus, the prime instigators of this infamy are walking free, writing books and openly pretending they never said the things they clearly said over and over. Take the Trump White House's COVID response coordinator, Deborah Birx, for example. She was, as the Brownstone Institute's Jeffrey Tucker recently pointed out, the principal architect of the disastrous lockdown policy that destroyed more lives than COVID itself. Birx knew that locking a country down in response to a virus was a radical move that would never, at least openly, be endorsed. So, as she admits in her new book, she lied about it. She sold the White House on that out-of-thin-air 15 days to slow the spread, BS, all the while knowing that there was no evidence it would do any such thing. And as she wrote in her new book, Silent Invasion, quote, I didn't have the numbers in front of me yet to make the case for extending it longer, but I had 2 weeks to get them, unquote. And as Dr. Paul writes, she was playing for time with no evidence. And as it turns out, she was also destroying the lives of millions of Americans. The hysteria she created led to countless businesses destroyed, countless suicides, major depressions, drug and alcohol addictions. It led to countless deaths, too, due to delays in treatment for other diseases. And it may turn out, writes Dr. Paul, to be the most deadly mistake in medical history. And here, your host can't help but interject, maybe Dr. Paul is still giving her the benefit of the doubt, because I don't think it was a mistake. Unless maybe she was Dr. Mengele's useful idiot. But he's not done, anyway. As she revealed in her book, continues Dr. Paul, she actually wanted to isolate every single person in the United States. Writing about how many people she would allow together, she said, if I pushed for zero, which was actually what I wanted and what was required, this would have been interpreted as a lockdown. Ooh, the perception we were all working so hard to avoid. So, yeah, she wanted to prevent even two people from meeting. How is it possible, writes Dr. Paul, for someone like this to gain so much power over our lives? One virus, suddenly we become communist China? And honestly, folks, that's true. But it took a lot more planning than that. Furthermore, she also knew that the vaccines weren't really vaccines at all. Dr. Paul goes into some detail about, well, what did she know and when did she know it, saying if she knew all along that the so-called vaccines were not, why didn't she tell us? Because, as she admits in her book, she believes it's just fine to lie to people in order to get them to do what she wants. And she even admitted that she employed subterfuge, her term, against her boss, President Donald Trump, to implement COVID policies he opposed. So why is it any surprise that she lied to the American people about the efficacy of, and I'll change a word or so here, folks, Zyklon B injections? The big question now, concludes Dr. Ron Paul, after what appears to be a tsunami of vaccine-related injuries and deaths, is will anyone be forced to pay for the lies and the subterfuge? Will anyone be held to account for the lives lost and the arrogance of the Birxes and Faucis of the world? And sad to say, Dr. Paul and I both know the answer, although I know he's probably still reluctant to say it out loud. It's a resounding no, and they're just getting started. Jim Quinn at the Burning Platform has a real tour de force of what's been going on of late up on his website, just paddling while the empire burns, it begins, and he starts with a reference to that phrase, fiddling while Rome burns. It is, he says, an intriguing idiom, referencing the great fire which ravaged Rome for 6 days in 64 AD. The legend, of course, is that Emperor Nero, one of the most sadistic, decadent, and cruel rulers of all time, well, at least up until recent decades, instead of taking actions to stop the fire, played his lyre while composing a song about Rome's destruction. The Roman historian Tacitus wrote that Nero was rumored to have sung about the destruction of Rome while watching the city burn, but it's likely this was just a myth. Still, though, folks, it's a great metaphor. The fire destroyed 70% of the city, left half the population homeless. And, of course, there are those who believe, I'm sure they would be called conspiracy theorists today, that Nero set the fire on purpose, especially after he used the land cleared by that fire to build his golden palace and its surrounding pleasure gardens. And, being a soulless autocrat at heart, Nero did what all feckless politicians do. He blamed the Christians, an obscure religious sect at that time, for the fire and had many of them arrested and, of course, executed. Whether that story is true or just a parable, the messages remain pertinent throughout history and never more so than today. Arguably, occupying one's time doing inconsequential things while catastrophic events are underway is the ultimate in leadership failure. And of course, if those things are planned, your host can't help but think it's a couple of notches worse. Focusing on trivial matters while your people are suffering during a time of crisis is the mark of an ineffectual, irresponsible leader at best, or maybe one whose true purpose is to burn down society so that it can be built back better in the form of a communist totalitarian state ruled by a globalist elite cabal. Obviously, continues Jim Quinn, it's impossible to ignore the parallels to an American empire in flames, as the Biden Fuhrer, the hordes of hyena politicians in the District of Criminal Swamp, and their captured corporate propaganda media mouthpieces, not to mention the central bankster fiat printing enablers and the Davos billionaire cadre. But, he says, no doubt, it's become a conflagration destined to rage out of control and consume not just Rome, but the entire planet in flames. Yes, if you've read The Fourth Turning, you know we're in a time of crisis, our rendezvous with destiny. Not only is the American empire burning in an abstract sense, but once the Antifa, BLM, and pro-abortion terrorist groups, all of course funded by Soros and Gates et al., hit the streets, the country will be literally burning. The chaos, havoc, violence, and vitriol are being engineered by the puppeteers, a.k.a. invisible government, who control the minds of the masses through media manipulation, nonstop propaganda, technological deceit, and, of course, socialist, I put that ist in there, folks, indoctrination through government schooling. It was succinctly described by Edward Bernays nearly a century ago and has been perfected by those governing the world today. And he quotes a line I'm sure you've heard before that used the phrase invisible government from propaganda at length. I wonder, though, if the people of Rome were as baffled by their emperor's total disregard for their well-being and safety as the city burned to the ground, as the minority of critical-thinking Americans are today, watching the Biden Fuhrer and his Obama-based handlers and their toadies in Congress who systematically burn our once great republic to the ground. No doubt, the Biden Fuhrer is an incompetent, low-IQ, hapless, dementia-ridden, racist pedophile, but what's happening in this country and across the globe is not due to mere incompetence, but a purposeful destruction of all productive structures, small businesses, constitutional rights, and, of course, societal norms. And I would add biblical standards, too, but that, of course, is politically incorrect even to suggest nowadays. In order to implement a totalitarian techno-gulag across the world run by a global elite of billionaires and their evil apparatchiks. That's quite a paragraph, folks, and it pretty well nails it. A crucial aspect of this new world order, says Jim Quinn, is massive depopulation of the planet to the desired number of serfs, less than half a billion, said the late, not-so-great Georgia Guidestones, needed to do the slave labor to keep the overlords in the luxury and splendor that they become accustomed to. Private jets, yachts, fenced luxurious 25-bathroom mansions armed with private security for them, while the serfs own nothing, eat bugs, and of course, oh, don't forget, they'll be happy, or at least be swiftly terminated, since guns will have long since been outlawed. Bottom line, says Luongo, quoting Cicero, our nation is beset by traitors within. And here he starts to get to the real nitty-gritty. The pockets of firestorms, says Quinn, swirling out of control across the world and purposely ignited by those running the show, makes it difficult to distinguish between fires detonated as distractions and the real inferno destined to reduce the world to ashes. Understand, though, that everything roiling the world over the past 27 months plus has been initiated and or utilized by the ruling oligarchs in order to implement their master plan of build back better as they burn the world to the ground. Even the distractions, though, are designed to further the agenda, like the latest example, the Supreme Court ruling on abortion. And while the lunatic left riots and protests in left-wing cities where they can murder an unborn child anytime they want and woke corporations virtue signal on behalf of sacrifices to Molech, it gives the left-wing media something to scream about other than the J6 insurrection, and he puts that in quotes, hearings that no one wants to watch anyway. Pride Month is, again, nothing but a giant distraction where drag queens, teachers grooming children, and transgendered BS are jammed down our throats, and corporations attempt to capitalize on the worship of abnormality. We're there, he says, the place that William Casey, CIA director, wrote about in 1981. Quote, we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. The January 6th armed insurrection farce, he says, led without arms by a Buffalo guy, initiated by FBI plants like Ray Epps and Antifa infiltrators, is another giant engineered distraction. It's all designed to cover up the traitorous coup conducted against Trump by deep state players in the Oval Office. You know, the three-letter agencies and the puppet master, as well as the wicked witch herself, Hillary Clinton, and the Washington establishment, a.k.a. One Party, instituted yet another distraction last week under the guise of, oh, say it with me, folks, protecting the children. Another unconstitutional gun grab that basically says to hell with the entire Bill of Rights. Even if red flag laws, which have already correctly been deemed unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, are overturned, that didn't stop the likes of Pelosi, Schumer, and a bunch of traitorous Republican rhinos from virtue signaling and committing treason in the process. Until it's overturned, it'll be used to take away the guns of anyone not towing the Big Brother line. And as your host has noted for some time, it's also intended to kick off a hot civil war. Just as was the case with the Biden-Fuhrer's unconstitutional demand, Achtung, that all employers mandate the Zyklon B injection, knowing full well it was unconstitutional, and tearing up the Bill of Rights in the process, the ruse worked anyway, as tens of thousands of employers mandated the poison poke before it was deemed what it actually always was, illegal as hell. But still, folks, they've managed to kill who knows how many, tens probably of millions of people that are now dead folks walking. And I like this good one-paragraph summary. Just as Nero blamed the Christians for the disaster he created, Biden blames Putin, Trump, oil companies, the unvaxxed, lawful gun owners, and the 70 million voters who still consider him to be an illegitimate fake president for the 10-alarm fire engulfing the economy, stock market, and the society he continues to debase with far-left, utterly fascist policies. At the current trajectory, Biden should go down in history as infamous as Nero, with his fatally reckless actions trying to initiate World War III with Russia. Quinn recounts the sort of details there. I won't, because you already know them. But as Biden spends his days in a dementia-ridden haze, falling off bikes, crapping his pants, smelling little children, pumping green energy fantasies, and honoring mentally damaged LGBTQ++ icons while pretending to be president, his handlers orchestrate everything he does, says, or thinks, and the country accelerates towards economic implosion, global war, civil chaos, and hardship never experienced, at least since the 1930s, for average Americans. Now here, folks, your host has to make one more observation. In the 1930s, the family farm was still a very much real and available thing. It saved a whole lot of lives. That, of course, has been systematically destroyed in the decades since. So that safety net isn't there this time around. Neither, of course, will be diesel-powered tractors, trucks, or locomotives. Not to mention nitrates and fertilizers, and a whole bunch of food processing facilities that have been mysteriously and suddenly burned to the ground. Here he quotes Leonard Cohen's famous song, and the lyrics that say, everybody knows. In this case, everybody knows the 2020 election was stolen. Everybody knows we're on the wrong path, to put it mildly. Everyone knows Biden is brain dead. Everyone knows Kamala is the dumbest human being on planet Earth. And, oh yeah, we also know that if she'd kept her legs together, she wouldn't be where she is today. Everyone knows Biden's team are a bunch of incompetent diversity hires. Everyone knows we just, pissed away $54 billion down a Ukrainian toilet. Biden's responsible for double-digit inflation, intended to go much higher, not to mention $5 gas, also intended to go a whole lot higher, and everybody knows bad things are going to happen over the next 2 years. And finally, he concludes what most of us know. The conspiracy theorists have been right all along, including the fact that the most sadistic and insidious aspect of their depopulation conspiracy are the so-called vaccines that don't keep anyone from contracting, spreading, being hospitalized, or dying from COVID, pumped into the bodies now of almost 5 billion people, while actual thinking doctors, not yet bought off or intimidated by Big Pharma, warned over a year ago about the side effects, the ADE, or antibody-dependent enhancement, created by the not-vaccines, and the dangers of myocarditis and other heart and clotting issues, especially in seemingly healthy young people, and they warned about potential impacts on fertility. And for their troubles, most ended up being banned by the likes of Twitter and Facebook. While the Centers for Death and Control and the federal death agencies, along with Fauci, Pfizer, Moderna, and the other evil servants of Satan, continue to lie and obfuscate. So, the good news, everybody knows, at least most of those with eyes to see or ears to hear. The question is, from here on out, what will we do about it? And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows.